Welcome to Focus on the Community, produced by the DLC Media News Center. I'm Dave Crooks. Today, my special guests are Clay County Commissioners Paul Senders and Marty Hefner. On today's program, we will discuss a proposal to expand the current Clay County Jail. Commissioners, welcome to today's program.
Thank you very much, Dave. We appreciate the opportunity to be invited and to share some of the information about a possible jail expansion.
Well, there's all kinds of talk, and I started coming to your commissioners meeting a couple of months ago just trying to learn more for myself and to try to make sure we let the public know what you guys are up to. But first of all, let's turn the clock back a second. It's my understanding in around, 2013, this county signed an agreement with the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, to start holding immigrant detainees in our jail, correct?
That is correct, yes. That was under Sheriff Mike Heaton, and that's when the program started, 2013, and we have been receiving the ICE detainees ever since.
And, Marty, that was a good idea for this county at that time. For what reason?
Well, at that point in time, we had the space in our jail. We had extra space. Our average daily population was low enough. We had the extra cell space to hold the detainees from ICE. So we were able to bring the ICE detainees and generate some income by holding the ICE detainees and generate that income for the county.
And it sounds like between here and Wisconsin, especially now that Illinois has passed legislation that would not allow any of their counties to do what you're doing, this is really the only one of its kind even in Indiana. Is that correct?
That's correct. We're the only long-term holding facility in the state of Indiana. And long-term is, when we say long-term, it's really just a matter of 3 to 4 weeks at most. These folks are here just to get their sentencing, and then they're moved on.
And a lot of times these detainees, they're not just here for crossing the border. The more I read, apparently these are some of the ones that have committed crimes somewhere in the country. Is that a fair statement?
That is correct. And we are hearing from some people that these are people here that really have not done anything wrong. And if you want to go back and check the records that are available, you will find out that some, yes, have committed some crimes and they need to be in prison someplace. And so that's the reason why that we do have the facility here to house those inmates.
I've been reading all kinds of articles this morning preparing for this program, and one of the articles that jumped out from injusticewatch.org, let's see if this is an accurate statement. They said on average that the jail holds 53 immigrants per day between June 2020 and June 2021, and that was according to documents obtained by the National Immigrant Justice Center and shared with this publication. Does that sound like an accurate average, about 53 typically a day?
I'm assuming you're talking ICE detainees, right?
Yes, thank you for that clarification. Yes.
Yeah, that would be correct.
Now, I know that there's been a buzz about how the current administration may find a way to hold less of these detainees, but this same article pointed out that under President Biden's 2022 budget proposal, that ICE is projected to detain about 30,000 immigrants per day next year, and that's about more than half of its $7.9 billion budget going toward detaining and deporting immigrants. So it looks like even this administration has a focus on holding these detainees. Is that a fair statement?
That is correct. One of the things that has been mentioned or brought up by some people is the fact that you may have a jail expansion and there will be no inmates available to place in the cells. We totally disagree with that. We have been in contact with different people at different levels, and basically we have been told that this program is not going to go away. In fact, I learned something the other day that was shocking to me. That there was more people arrested during the Obama administration than during the Trump administration, which I did not know.
Yeah.
But no, this is not going to go away. We've been in contact, and to be honest with you, if we thought there was a possibility that the ICE detainees would not be available, we would most certainly not be thinking in terms of the jail expansion to the degree that we are thinking in terms of it at the present time.
What surprised me about one of the articles I also read, they're claiming that there's 637 facilities nationwide that are housing these type of detainees. Were you aware it was that high?
No, I was not.
It surprised me as well. And apparently 409 facilities had at least 10 ICE detainee transfers last year, according to an article that I read this morning. So let's dive into basically some of the standards that ICE has. They apparently have certain minimal standards when it comes to both taking care of the prisoners medically and things like that. Does the current jail meet their standards, I guess, would be the first question.
In the new jail expansion, if we go that direction, we are going to have improved medical facilities, an area especially for that. I know the sheriff and others have been in contact with the U.S. Marshal's office, and they have told us exactly what they would like to have and what they need, and those will be incorporated into the new jail expansion. So at the present time, the answer to your question is no, we do not have everything that they want. But I can also tell you that whether the inmates are local or ICE detainees, they are taken care of in a medical sense, whether it is locally by the nurses that we have. I think we have two nurses at the present time, or whether it's a medical doctor that comes in, or in severe cases, whether it's regardless of what level they are sent to a hospital for care. So every one of those inmates, regardless of their classification, are taken care of at the present time. But in the new facility, it's going to be much, much improved and will meet the requirements of the ICE people.
Now, there's a lot of people that believe this is a done deal, but officially, what has the commissioners done so far that has this thing at least on the drawing board? Is there any kind of a contract signed with a consultant or something like that? Or what have you done so far?
The only thing that has been done to this point, we have signed a, it's called a bot for services agreement, which guarantees the designer a set amount of money for the services they have provided to this point. That way, if we decide not to go ahead, then we will pay them a set amount of money to pay for the services they have provided. If we continue on with the project, that will all be rolled into the final project, and then this current agreement will be null and void. But at this point, that bot for services agreement just guarantees them a set amount of money for the services they have provided.
And as part of that agreement, they are coming up with a plan and design for the jail expansion, because without that, we cannot move on. We cannot vote yes or no, good or bad. And so we have to have something in front of us before we make a decision, and that decision has not been made yet.
Now, there's always these perceptions, and I've served in office before as well, that there's some kind of backdoor room meeting going on where the stuff's being shared. But how have you learned so much about the proposal at this point? Has there been one-on-one meetings with the consultant, or how do you know so much so far about the possible design and things like that?
Well, the commissioners appointed a jail committee.
Okay.
That includes one commissioner, a member of the county council, and the sheriff. And that jail committee has met at different times and has met with the designer at different times. These have all been public meetings, and that's all been recorded. Those meetings have been posted on the website, the county website. So, you know, this information, it's all public information. So, you know, there's not been anything done under the table as we've been accused of. But all this, you know, like I say, the jail committee has been has met different times with the designer, and the sheriff has met with the designer to make sure we get all these needs, all the requirements that ICE requires. All this has been incorporated into the plans.
How many beds does the current jail hold, and then what would the new jail look like if you go with the early recommendation, I guess?
Well, the current jail is 176 is our capacity. And as Paul was saying, you know, we do have medical facilities in the jail. The new, and it's built on a pod system. Our existing jail was designed to where we could add a pod to the existing jail. That way, we're adding a pod to the existing jail, and since the existing jail was designed to add a pod, we don't have to have kitchen facilities and laundry facilities in the new pod. So we're using the existing kitchen and laundry facility, which saves us a lot of money. We're having to renovate those two areas, do some expansion and those sorts of things, but that saves us a lot of money by being able to renovate those areas. We have three large medical suites in the pod that we are adding, which will help out greatly. We also have three video suites for the inmates to be able to speak with judges, their attorneys, those sorts of things, so that they're not having to be transported to the courthouse and that sort of thing, which cuts down a lot on paying deputies to transport people across the street, and it cuts down on liability and that sort of thing also.
Okay. And then whether you have the ICE detainees or not, I mean, do you feel like there's a need to increase the size of the jail or not?
Unfortunately, the number of people in the jail has been increasing on a yearly basis. As Marty said, we have beds for 176. Well, what you get into with that, you have males and females. And sometimes, quite honestly, the number of female inmates has been increasing on a yearly basis. And so that in itself creates some problems. The other thing that not many people are aware of, and I really don't know what the reasoning is behind this, but the state of Indiana says that you are at full capacity when you reach 80% of your beds. So we have basically at the present time 176 beds. So if you take 80% times 176, I think that gives you 140 or 141. So from the viewpoint of the state, once we reach 140 or 140 inmates, we are at full capacity. And I hate to say this, but realistically, and we're being honest about this, there has been numerous times during the past 2 or 3 years that we have been well above what the state recommends, and we have actually been above on some occasions of 176. There was one year, one time, I know we was up, unfortunately, about 190-some. And so basically, forget about the ICE detainees. Forget about those. We, unfortunately, need to expand our jail. We have no choice. And, you know, we do not, we're trying to be proactive and think ahead. We do not want to get in the situation that Vigo County has been in. And most people do not realize, but Sullivan County is in the process of building a jail. Greene County has already built a jail. Owen County is in the process of building a jail. And if you look over the state of Indiana, many, many counties are unfortunately in the process of expanding or building a new facility to house additional inmates.
Vigo County Commissioner Brendan Kearns was on this program last week, and he touched on their jail project, which I think was somewhere north of $60 million. But he mentioned that at a conference he went to recently, it was his understanding that 49 out of 92 Indiana counties have a current plan to expand their county jails.
We were at the same conference.
Okay, so that's an accurate statement,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay. Now, if you're saying that you've been as high as 170 to 180, has the ICE number been much above that average of 54, or what's the highest the ICE numbers have been up to at times?
When our average daily population of our local inmates rises, then we have to lower our ICE population. So, I mean, there are times we get down in the 20s to 30s with our ICE population because we have to keep that, you know, below our capacity of 176. So as our average daily population of locals increases, we have to lower our ICE population. And with the way it's been with the COVID, our average daily population of local inmates has been low. So we have been able to increase our ICE numbers, which has been good for the county. We've been able to take in more ICE detainees and make more money for the county that way.
And when you have to move, let's say, ICE prisoners elsewhere, are these typically going back to their home origin countries, or are they being sent to another detention center, or where do they go typically?
Either to Wisconsin or Kentucky. We've transferred as far as Kansas.
Okay. So the price tag that I keep hearing about was somewhere north of 25, perhaps as high as $27 million. Is that still an accurate statement?
Yes, that's correct.
That is correct, yes.
Okay. How would this be paid for, I guess, exactly?
Okay, at the present time, we have a 0.25 tax to pay for the present jail.
That's on the income tax, right?
That's on the income tax.
Okay.
And so, again, this is up to the county council. All monetary issues in the county are under the control of the county council. And basically what they're thinking about doing, and which I think we as commissioners fully support, is that this tax will continue and will continue to pay for the new jail expansion. And so what we're saying is nobody will see an increase in taxes. On the other hand, to be honest about it, there's not going to be a decrease either at the present time, but it will be level. And that's a good part. Nobody's going to see an increase, maintain what we're doing at the present time.
And I did this once for Davies County when I was a state rep, but that was done by statute when they built their jail and raised the income tax. Is there a sunset time period for the current 0.25% on this current bond, or is there just a way to extend that through the legislature, or how will that work?
It will end in 6 years, this current 0.25%.
So that means the legislature would have to extend it. Is that an accurate statement? No.
No, at that time, if it terminates, then what will happen, the county council would act to enact that and keep that at the present level.
Okay, so you could actually, so the county council could actually pass a resolution that would just extend that beyond the 6 years.
The resolution or act you're talking about was created by the Indiana General Assembly, a special tax to build the present jail. That is correct.
Okay. Now, I'm sure you're going to get more questions as you get closer to the decision day, but first of all, is there a decision day? I mean, will this be on your January calendar when you guys meet at the first of next month?
No. It's not scheduled to be on the calendar at that point in time. We're still waiting for information to come in, it's just like we're in the process of waiting for some zoning issues to be taken care of, so we're still laying the groundwork, gathering information.
And when you mentioned the zoning work, I think I saw an ad in the Brazil Times where apparently the land that you've bought adjacent to the jail that you got apparently a good price on, that's being moved from residential to industrial. So that's part of the early process on this project?
That's correct.
Okay. The jail committee that you mentioned, when is their next public meeting?
We just call those meetings as needed.
Okay.
One thing I would like to mention, one of the things that that is being included in this project is repairs to the old jail. We're including about $1 million worth of repairs and renovations to the existing jail, over $640,000to replace the roof. We've had roof leaks for several years, and so that's one of the projects that will be rolled in to this project. We're going to install a water management system to the tune of about $135,000, because anytime they go into, when they're, the inmates are trying to get rid of, contraband or anything, what's the first thing they do? They try to flush it down the stool, and they just flush as many times as... Well, this water management system would stop that.
Okay.
And now they can take as many showers a day as they want to. The sheriff would be able to limit the amount of water, the amount of showers they can take, and the amount of water that can be used in each cell. And it will save the taxpayers a lot of money on our water bill.
And the original jail was built when, or at least the current one?
2006 is when it was moved.
Okay, so I could see how the roof probably needs to be updated.
It
by
is
now.
Unfortunately a flat roof, and my experience with flat roofs is not very positive.
Right, same with schools, you know what that's like. So we've only got a few minutes left. Will there be like a detailed information meeting, whether it's through the jail committee or perhaps, I know I notice in your commissioner's room, there's not a lot of room for a lot of people to come in. For your meetings, do you see perhaps a detailed information meeting before you roll this thing out officially, or what's the plan there?
We really honestly have not discussed that at that point because we have no information to present.
Okay.
And so what we're going to do down the road, I don't know. We have not considered that, discussed that. And you indicate that if we would need a larger facility, and I'm not quite for sure where that would be, but no, we have not discussed that, because what we have to have available first to us before we would present it to the public is design and scope and all that, which we do not have at the present time.
And you don't see the property taxes going up since you've got the tool to actually raise the 0.25%, or you currently have the 0.25% higher income tax. There wouldn't be any need, perhaps, to raise property taxes, even if a $27 million project is approved?
No. Okay. Absolutely not.
So that squashes that rat rumor, because I know that's out there too.
You know, we as commissioners, quite frankly, are, I think, very conservative. And one of the things that we, as most people in the county, we don't want higher taxes. And so that's one of the reasons why we are considering a jail expansion here to receive more ICE detainees, because if we receive more ICE detainees, we speculate that we could receive close to $7 million per year for ICE detainees. And this will pay for the expenses of the jail, salaries, utilities, heat and cooling and so on. And without that money then being freed up, additional money being freed up to the county, the county may have to raise taxes. The county council may have to raise taxes. And that's one of the things we're looking at, is hoping to avoid possible tax increases. I can tell you that many counties in the state of Indiana do not have extra income, and they've had to raise taxes this year to take care of salary increases, because many counties did not give any increases in salary for the last 2 or 3 years. And, you know, at some point you got to. As you well know, many business and industries now are paying top dollar. They have to. And so counties are the same way. If we're going to retain good employees, we have to pay.
I saw in Martin County this week they couldn't get a proposal approved for raises for a jail, and some local farmer family apparently coughed up $54,000 so they could actually give the deputies a raise.
I saw that as well.
That's pretty generous family down there, wouldn't you say? The State General Assembly hasn't made this any easier on you guys, too, when it comes to the fact that there's apparently a certain level crime that might be committed in a community. They don't necessarily say go to Putnamville now or go to Branchville. They're actually making you hold them in your county jail, and that's a change from policy in the past. Is that correct?
Well, the level six felons, and instead of the state building their own prisons, they're sending them back to the county level. And, of course, they allow us $37 per day to hold those, which is, you know, at or below our cost. But they are forcing counties to hold their felons at this point. So you know, like you say, that's not helping our cause any.
And what do you say to those who claim that $51 that ICE pays you doesn't cover your actual cost?
Well, that's the thing. The $55 a day, you know, we are definitely making a profit at that. And if, you know, if we go ahead and move forward, we will be able to approve or apply for a raise in our ICE per day monies at that point. We didn't feel comfortable asking for that, asking for a raise, until we were breaking ground on a newer facility. And, you know, once we have all those, we're going to have, you know, Americans for Disability Act cells in there where it'll be all handicap access. It will have places for you know, people with CPAP machines
to meet some of those standards.
To meet some more of those standards, and that will help us to be able to ask for more money from the ICE people.
And you both feel very confident that these ICE contracts will continue for the near future. You
don't absolutely
have
an issue with
that. I have no concern about that whatsoever, because unfortunately, there's always going to be criminals, and there's going to have to be some place to place those, and so we want to possibly have the facility to receive those people.
And I'll give you both about 15, 20 seconds each remaining. Anything else you want to share with Clay County residents right now regarding this possible expansion?
I will say this, that much thought and discussion has gone into this project. This has been actually on the back burner for almost 2 years now, and not much has been said about it, but we've been looking at it. We want to do what is right and the best for the citizens of Clay County. One of the things that we need to mention here is the fact that all of us live in this county. All of us have property. We all pay property tax. All of us have an income. We all pay income tax. So anything we do here is going to affect us as well as anybody else in the county. So, you know, we're going to do hopefully what is right and best for the majority of people in this Clay County. We are proud of this county. It's a great county to live, to raise your kids. We have great churches. We have great schools. We have great business and industry, and we want to keep it that way. And so that's what we're working at, to keep taxes down and not to increase taxes.
Final thoughts, Marty?
And over 2 years ago in September, Mike Braun and several of the ICE people from Chicago and Indianapolis were here to tour our facility. And that was what really spurred us and pushed us on to look towards this expansion.
Okay. Well, gentlemen, thank you for sharing some information today. And we'll continue to attend your meetings and continue to keep the public informed as this proposal moves through the process.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much, Dave.
Thank you for the opportunity of us being here today. And, you know, we're getting close to a very special time of the year, and I want to wish everybody in the county Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas to you folks as well. This has been Focus on the Community for the weekend of December 19th, 2021. You can find a podcast of this program at any one of our four websites. I'm Dave Crooks for Focus on the Community, produced by the DLC Media News Center. Have a great weekend.